you turn with me to the reading of my text, which is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how are all you folks this morning? How's it going? How are things? We ask one another questions of that nature quite often. I'm not sure we're always ready to listen to the answers. It's simply a form of greeting, a way of opening up conversation, perhaps. But if we should happen to pause and listen to the answers we're given, we might discover that, well, many are going through good times. But also, there may be a number going through the worst of times. And maybe even one or two, whether they realize it or not, going through what is for them the end time. One of the great attractions I find in the 23rd Psalm is it talks about the shepherd's care of his people as they go through these different times of our lives. The Psalm, of course, identifies the shepherd as the Lord. We know him as the Lord Jesus Christ, for as we listen to him in John chapter 10, he tells us, I am the good shepherd. And we come under that shepherd's care when we become Christians. When we turn from our sins and following the ways of the sinful world to put our faith in Jesus and to follow him, then we can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. And we will find ourselves in the care of the best hands in the world at all times. So I invite your attention this morning to Psalm 23 as it talks about the Lord's care for us in the times of life. In the good times, in the worst times, and in the end times. The psalm begins, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. The shepherd sees that we're well supplied with everything we really need. And that certainly comes through in the good times of life. The good times come to us from the shepherd's hand. In Psalm 34, we come across a Similar thought when it says the young lions may grow weak and hungry, but those that seek the Lord lack no good thing. And the Apostle Paul picks up on the same theme in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, saying, "My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." As the sheep in the shepherd's care, we should never have to go without anything we really need. God will supply our every need. And that's certainly true about the good times in life. And we should always remember to express our thanks to the Lord and praise him for his goodness and grace to us. Praise the Lord. We never should be in any need of anything. And the song continues, "He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters." Whatever else we might take from these words, they most definitely set before us a picture of rest. Shepherd making the sheep lie down on the grass. Time to rest. Grass is green, which to me suggests it's probably in a shady place. Waters are quiet. Perfect place for rest. We should be assured then from the psalm, as from all of Scripture, that God wants his people to enjoy rest. God wants us as his people to enjoy rest. Jesus calls out to us from Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 and following, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Rest for the soul. What a marvelous blessing that is. Today there are so many folks weary of soul, tired of everything, it seems. We talked today about mental health and the lack thereof. But nowhere in the Bible can you find the language of mental health. The scriptures instead talk about rest for the soul and peace for the heart. I don't think there is any rest for the soul apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come to him," he calls, "and you will find rest for your souls." And that's pictured for us in the psalm as the sheep brought to lie down on the green grass where the water's quiet and they have rest. Christ, the good shepherd, gives rest. Christ, the good shepherd, restores the soul. He renews the troubled, anxious, exhausted spirit. He takes away the burden and guilt of sin. He renews the heart by his Holy Spirit, which is all part of his care for us in the good times of life. What is more, says the psalmist, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Hebrew word for righteousness here is the word for straight. Shepherd leads in straight paths. Calvin called them easy and plain paths. Paths that keep one from stumbling into what is hurtful. And if those paths are straight, you can be sure they follow the shepherd's directions. You can be sure they follow the Ten Commandments and are righteous paths. He leads us to love God with all our mind, soul, and heart. He leads us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He leads us to keep the commandments that we hear read in the Lord's house each week. He leads us to serve one another, to pray, to cast our cares upon him. He leads us to give thanks in all things. He leads us to think about what is right, noble, pure, and praiseworthy. He leads us to keep busy and avoid idleness, assuring us that the God of peace will be with us as we do all these things. A number of those directions you'll discover in the fourth chapter of Philippians, which is a very important chapter in knowing how to be at peace with God. And the Lord leads us in these paths for the sake of the sheep, I am sure, but more importantly, as the psalm tells us, for his name's sake. Erring sheep dishonor the name of their shepherd. And so he leads them in straight paths to maintain the credit of his name. He spares no effort for the care of his own. When your times are good, and I hope that's true of most of your times, but when they're good, you can be sure they're good because of the shepherd's care. Be sure to faithfully thank him and praise his name for all the good care you receive in the good times of life. But the times are not always good. We all face our bad times too. We all go through what we consider the worst of times. Man is born to trouble, the scriptures tell us in the book of Job, chapter 5. And sooner or later, all of us discover that we go through our share of trouble and difficulty. As John Newton wrote in his hymn, Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. And I think we're all familiar with the many dangers, toils, and snares. We all have our share of what we call the worst of times. Like the patriarch Jacob, He sent his sons off to Egypt, and they came back with one of the boys missing. Simeon didn't come back. And he'd already lost his son Joseph, and he cries out, "Everything is against me." He was going through one of the worst of times, but we feel very much with Jacob as he cries out those words. What of the Lord's care then? The 23rd Psalm has this to say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Well, it sounds like the psalmist is going through the worst of times here. He describes them as going through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a Hebrew expression that I understand to mean a place or time of profound darkness. Nothing looks good. Everything's dark. Everything looks very threatening. While the experience of death can well be like going through the dark valley of the shadow, but we can go through some other dark, threatening experiences long before we meet up with the death itself. The doctor says you have cancer. Boy, that can threaten you. I've had that a couple of times said to me, and it's not fun to listen to. Or you find yourself in hospital after a serious auto crash. Not so good. Perhaps your job is threatened over disagreement at work. Or you have family trouble. Maybe your property's flooded out. Or you go through a serious fire. There are all manner of dark, threatening experiences that we can face in life, and we call them the worst of times. What of the Lord's care then? And the psalmist says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." There's no need to be fearful at such times because the Lord is with us and he cares for us even when everything appears desperately dark. Now, what I think many of us do when we go through the dark valleys of life, the worst of times, as we say, is we direct all our attention to the difficulties. If it's cancer, oh dear, cancer can be deadly. Some of the chemotherapy they use is downright poisonous. You can end up in hospital for a long time, go through a lot of pain. Seems to be there's so many things can go wrong. And then if you've had a serious auto accident, you might be wondering if you'll ever walk again. With a job loss, you might wonder if you'll ever have another job. How will I pay my bills? I could lose the house. And it's human nature when we go through these things to give all our attention to the difficulties and get all untangled or all tangled up with them. And the next thing you know, you're discouraged, you're downcast, you're fearful. I say that's a piece of human nature that we all tend to do. I know I've done it many times. But I submit to you, the psalmist has a much better idea. He says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So instead of directing all his thoughts to the problem, he remembers the Lord. He remembers the Lord is with him. And he turns his thoughts to the Good Shepherd. He casts his care upon the Lord and discovers there really isn't anything to fear. And I submit to you that's something we could all profitably learn from the psalmist. Remembering the Lord and his care is something we'll have to train our minds to do. Not just in the worst of times. It's good to do that at all times. And if we thank God in the good times and praise him in the good times, it'll come to us a whole lot faster when we're into the worst of times. We need to remember the Lord is with us at all times. And especially in the worst of times should our thoughts be turned to him. Psalmist says, this is what I do. You're with me. And I have nothing to fear. And I submit to you, there's no better way of facing the worst times in our lives than to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the Lord. And then the psalm goes on to make mention of enemies. And when we're facing enemies, that sounds like the worst of times too. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The psalm is the psalm of David. And David, during his lifetime, certainly had his enemies. He had his frequent clashes with the Philistines. For a long time, Saul was chasing him, seeking his life. There was a time that even his own son, Absalom, turned against him and threatened David's reign as king. These would be among the worst times in his life. And what did the Lord do when he faced the enemies of his life? He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." It's dinner time, David. Here's the table set and prepared. Sit down, enjoy a meal, relax. Sounds pretty good to me. Now, I hope you don't have enemies like David. Foreigners who threaten your defeat, a king who wants you dead, a son who turns against you. But we do have folks that upset our lives and create problems for us and more or less fill the role of enemies for us. Someone out to destroy your job, perhaps, a neighbor who won't talk to you anymore and makes threats, family member you can't get along with. And we can dwell on all these problems and find ourselves agitated, upset, troubled. And it's very easy to let ourselves get upset. But wouldn't it be better to join with the psalmist and realize the Lord continues to set the table before us, even in the midst of our enemies. I look back at the worst times in my life, and I've had my share, as we all do. And the Lord has set the table all the time. Why are we troubled? The Lord's care is with us, even in the worst of times. Let's learn to say with David, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yes, and he anoints our head with oil, an ancient custom of kindness when people assembled for a feast, and the cup runs over too. It's good to remember these things in the worst of times and to give thanks and praise to God. I remember going through one of the worst of times, and a godly pastor suggested I thank the Lord in the midst of it all, and I looked at him in unbelief. But I discovered that his counsel was good and right. The scriptures do tell us to give thanks in everything, and I'm sure that's exactly what it means. We celebrated the Lord's Supper in Vernon just a few weeks ago. And Pastor Ewan, as he spoke beforehand, remarked how Jesus took the bread and the cup. Remember, the bread and the cup represent his body broken. They speak of the crucifixion, which was but days away. They speak of his body being broken. They speak of the great sorrows when it seems even the Father forsook him. And what does the Lord Jesus do with the emblems of all that worst of times? You got it. He gave thanks. And we can do no better in the worst of times than follow the Lord's example. And then before finishing the psalm, the writer reflects on the remaining days of his life. Now, he really doesn't know any more of the details of life that are ahead of him any more than you and I do. But he does know what will follow him through these days. And so he writes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he looks ahead to the future, all the rest of the days of his life, and beyond, forever. And goodness and mercy, he says, will follow me. I call these the end of times because they will mark the end of the psalmist's life. And they'll be filled, he says, with goodness and mercy. The Lord's care, his goodness and favor will follow him all the way through. The Lord's peace and rest will be his in the good times, in the worst of times, all the way through to the end times. And he's assured of all of this because the Lord is the unchanging God. There's nothing to fear ahead. And if we have become acquainted by faith with the Lord, with the Good Shepherd, there's nothing ahead for us to fear either. Goodness and mercy shall follow us through the end times of our lives. We believers in the Lord Jesus find our needs met too, our sins pardoned, our hearts renewed. We experience the peace and the rest that is given by the Lord. We face our future with hope and confidence. We are under his care. And then the psalm concludes, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. By faith, he was adopted as a member of the Lord's household and enjoyed the fellowship of the Lord's family. And we enjoy the same blessing. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, there'll be a heavenly home prepared for us by the same good shepherd. His care, my dear friends, is unending. By faith in the Lord Jesus, this is our hope. We too are given the right to become the children of God when we turn in faith to Jesus. And we too, at that point, enjoy the fellowship of the Lord's family as we enjoy the fellowship when the church gathers together. And then there's the heavenly home awaiting us. Jesus tells us, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So we have this marvelous hope and assurance of goodness and mercy all our days, and then dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, we should be giving thanks and praise to the Good Shepherd for the wonderful continuing care he gives. So I conclude, and as I do, I think it's good to remind ourselves that we really don't deserve such wonderful care. David, the psalmist who wrote the psalm, really didn't deserve it either. His life was filled with some rather grievous sins, adultery, murder, others. Just like us, he fell short of the glory of God. He didn't deserve such care, neither do we. It's given because the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. 'Tis the blood of the Good Shepherd that covers over all our sins and griefs. And it's through faith in him that we become the children of God. And God cares for the members of his family. And we have the shepherd's care simply because we're the sheep of his pasture. We should keep that ever in mind. It's ours as we look in repentance and faith to Jesus. And it's believers in the Lord Jesus who can affirm with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Keep that in mind in the different times of your life. The Lord cares for his own in the good times, in the worst times, and in all times to the very end. Amen.